Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. He's talking about the tabernacle. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is once appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I just want to focus on the first two words in verse 24. For Christ. I'm kind of hung up on this Jesus. Christ, Lord, Father, Deliverer. Just whatever you want to say, that's what he is. For the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but, I love it when God butts in. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For Christ, and some have asked today, who is this Christ? We're living in a society, we're living in a time where children are not being raised as we were raised. And a lot of us to know that Jesus is more than the baby at Christmas where you exchange gifts. But yet Christmas is the greatest gift of salvation that a person could ever see. And I've traveled different places and different churches and different movements. And I tell folks, it doesn't matter what's over your door, it's what's in your heart. And the fact of the matter is, we need to preach Jesus Christ. He's the one that it's all about. Well, somebody said, what about this and what about that? Well, I've never found anything this or that to preach better about than Jesus. So who is he? Somebody asked. I can say number one, he is the perfect person. Peter said there was no sin, neither was there no guile ever found about him. He was born of a virgin. You heard what I said. She was more than a young lady. She was more than a good girl, as some of the new reversions are wanting to say. I'm telling you, she probably was a good girl and she was a young lady. But there's more to it than that. She was a virgin, and by the conception of the Holy Ghost, through the virgin birth, the womb was opened, and born into this world was the perfect person, and his name is Jesus. You say, well, how can you say he's perfect and yet in the flesh? Because he lived in the flesh but yet did not sin. Amen. Brother Rogers, one of the greatest, and tell him how he was and maybe in the flesh and who he was as God. And I'll not rehearse that this evening, although I've used it in many places and many times. And on occasion, I get to preach a lot with him anymore, and I'll even use it in him there. But bless God, somebody said, where do you get your stuff? Everywhere I can. Amen. But the matter of the fact is, one old fellow said, just take the bones and make your own soup. Amen. The fact of it is, you got to pray. Amen. That's where it's at. That's what's missing in our land today in the Christian community. There's no prayer going on. As Brother Calvin preached, most time the only time people pray is when they want something. Amen. But he is the perfect person. They tried to accuse him. Can you say this tonight? What do you mean he's the perfect person? He took criticism. And Pilate even said, I find no fault in this man. And can I tell you, they was examining him. He went through things like no other person has ever went. And yet he opened not his mouth. Why? Because he said, for this cause came I into the world, and to this end was I born. Why? That you and I who were lost, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, having no hope through the blood of Jesus Christ now. We have been made a fellow citizen with the household of Israel. What do you mean, preacher? The Bible says like this, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from His wrath. Who is He, preacher? One writer said He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bride in the morning star. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the bread to them that are hungry. He's the fountain of water of life that spring upward in a man that's thirsty. I can say He's my healer. I can say He's my counselor. I can say He is the one and only God in my life, and I've coronated and crowned Him a king of my heart, because there's none greater. There's none other. He is Jesus. And the Bible said every knee will bow and let everything clean away, because He is the perfect person. Not only is He's the perfect person, but I can say this. He came for a particular purpose. Now, it might get quiet here just for a minute, but the Bible says in your hearing, He came for a particular purpose. What is that, preacher? That He might put away sin. Amen. Now, we're living in a time where things will be said like this. Well, I'm just a poor old sinner saved by grace. Well, I know what I was, but thank God I ain't that no more. Hold on a minute. Woo! Hallelujah. What are you saying, preacher? Quit belittling yourself and quit using that cliche to do what you want to do. The Bible says, put away sin. Hallelujah. He didn't save us to bring reproach against Him. I'm telling you, it's a day and time when we need to put away sin. What are you talking about? I'm telling you this. I believe the Bible teaches us that if any man continueth in sin, his father is the devil. But thank God I've been delivered from that. Now, I know I falter and fail, and many times I make mistakes, and God made a provision for that. And John, he began to write like this. Woo, hallelujah. He began to say, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, you have a father. You have an advocate, the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, before the sins of the entire world. Bless God, I'm like the old woman that used to lose the new blue cheer. When we was a boy, they had to come out that detergent. Had a commercial on the television. They had a number 3 galvanized wash tubs. All of you probably remember that. And they had one that had soap in it. And they one that had wrench water. And they had that new blue cheer. That woman, she put that garment in that the wash powders and shake it on that board. And she'd pull it out and rinse it. And she'd put it out and she'd go, washy, washy, washy in the new blue chair. Rinchy, rinchy, rinchy in the water so clear. And she'd wash those garments. And my mama used to hang them out on the clothesline. Bless God, there was 8 of us kids. It was longer than this building. Hallelujah. And everything was in its order. Towels, wash rags, bed clothes, and so on and so forth. Everything was in its order. And I washed one day. And I thank God sometimes does us like this. Washy, washy, washy in the new blue cheer. Rinchy, rinchy, rinchy in the water so clear. Washy, washy, washy in the new. Hey, let me bless God, let me tell you something. There comes times in our life and we need to mature as a Christian, and we need to put away sin. Bless His holy name. Sanctified by the power of a holy God, separate. Here's what the Bible said. Come you out from among the world and be you a separate people. Thus saith the Lord. I want you to know I am peculiar. I want you to know I am crazy. In Jesus' name. Why? Because He saved me from the pits of hell, and He's delivering me from the snare of the fowler. And I say, bless His holy name. I want to put away sin that I may be more like Him and have more of Him in my life. We need to be a separate people. And I know this is going to scare some of you, but we need to be a sanctified person. Somebody said, you're talking about a second works of grace? Yes, and a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth. As many works as you can get in, you better get them. Why? Because God wants to set us apart. Well, I felt a cool breeze right there, so let me move on. He is the perfect person, and He came for a particular purpose. Now watch this. The Bible says, and I'll use in point number three, He walked a painful pathway. How can He put away sin? It says in the verse, by the sacrifice of Himself. My friend, He didn't send other lambs. He didn't send the lame. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send the goat. And He could have sent anything He wanted. And He could have done it any way He wanted. But can I tell you, He sent Himself in the bodily shape form of a man who lived a godly life, went to Calvary and died. You see, the problem anymore, too many people have got over Calvary. The only time they consider it is around Easter. Can I tell you, the Bible said His vengeance was mired more than any man. You wouldn't have even recognized Him. They whipped Him with the cat of nine tails. They plaited a crown of thorns and put on His head. They smote and mocked Him. They criticized Him. And yet He opened not His mouth. But bless God, why did He do that? That you and I might be saved and delivered from the snare of Satan. And bless God, He walked a painful pathway. Therefore, I don't have to be crucified. I don't have to go through what He did. Hallelujah. He took my place and He nailed my sins to the cross and He blotted out the handwritings that was against me. And now my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'm saved, 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 sealed, set apart on my way to heaven. Somebody help me right here. He said, I came and walked the pathway for you. He's the perfect person. He came for a particular purpose. And yes, He walked the painful pathway. We get by pretty good. Oh, I've been called a lot of things, but God calls me son. You can call me whatever you want to. Amen. God, I'm His boy. Hold on a minute. That feels good. I'm His boy. Huh? What do you mean? I'll tell you what I mean. About 50 years ago, pretty soon, in the Blanton family in Johnson County, Kentucky, my mama gave birth to a 9-pound, 15-ounce boy. Greek's birth. She reminds me of it every Mother's Day. She said, son, I was born May the 10th. She said, son, I went through the valley of the shadow of death to bring you into this world. And you better do what's right, because I brought you in and I'll take you out. That's what she says. She's probably listening right now. Oh, but Mama, thank you. Papa, thank you. I thought when they were singing that song, but if these two old gray-haired people in Johnson County, Kentucky tonight, that's praying for their boy. And I can feel, I can smell the oil all the way from yonder. But can I tell you something, Brother Paul? When I got born again, it didn't make the painful hurled. It didn't get down to the Ashland Daily Independent. And they didn't even put it on WSIP. Oh no. But can I say this? When I got born again, it made noise in heaven. Woo! Why? Because God said, write His name down. And the Bible said there's more rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one that repenteth than the 99. That needs no repentance. And because of that painful pathway that He walked, I've got some good news to share with you tonight. Old patriarch Job began to write like this. He said, I saw in the right hand of him. Or no, he said this. Man that is born of woman, it's but a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and he's cut down. You know, we'll be here and then yet one day we'll be gone. Oh, I'm not going to die. I'm just going to change addresses. Amen. But he went on down yonder. And I like what he said. He said, but there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, the tender branches thereof shall not cease. And though the root wax old and the stalk thereof dieth in the earth, yet if the seed of water it shall bring forth boughs and bud like a plant. Oh, man dieth and wasteth away, and where is he? Oh, that thou would hide me in the grave until thy wrath be past. And yes, he shall call my name, and I shall answer him. For the Lord knoweth the path in which I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. For I know my Redeemer liveth and shall stand upon the earth in the latter days, and I shall see him for myself and for not another. Oh, I like this right here. He is the perfect person. He walked a painful pathway. He came for a particular purpose. But thank God, he left us a powerful promise. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going away to prepare you a place. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. Thomas said, Lord, how shall we know the way and whither thou goest? And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man come to the Father but by me, and no man cometh unless my Father draw him. May I say to you tonight, he went away and he's coming back. I don't know when he's coming. I tell him like this, I plan like I'm going to live forever, and I live like I'm going to leave today. Why? Because one day after a while, Paul began to write in the Corinthian church there. He said, for we know if the earthly house of his tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building eternal in the heavens, not made by hand. Therefore we do groan to be clothed with our heavenly body. For as we have borne the earthly image, we shall also bear that heavenly image, that we might not be found naked, but clothed in his righteousness. Yea, listen, though this body is sown in corruption, one day it'll be raised incorruptible. Though I may lay down this mortal, one day I will raise immortal. For I show you mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, even also those who are asleep in Christ will God bring with him. For the saying will begin in the dust, and we who are alive and remain shall be changed, caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. May I say to you, my favorite passage in the Bible is this right here. John said on the Isle of Patmos, I who am your brother and tribulation was on the Isle of Patmos for the word of the Lord's sake, and I heard behind me, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a voice as a voice of a trumpet in many waters, and I turned to see the voice which spake unto me, and when I turned I saw him clothed with a white garment, his feet burned like brass in a furnace, his hair was white as snow, his flaps was girded with a golden girdle, his size was as a flaming fire, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. John said, I fell as dead before him. But he said, he laid his right hand on me. Woo, and said, fear not, John, for I am Alpha, I'm Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the end, I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the A, I'm the Z, I'm he who was and is, and is to come. And then my favorite quotation is this. In chapter 5, he said like this, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals thereof. And I heard a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is able? Ooh, I said, who here would be able? There's none here that's able. But he said like this, who's able to open?
open a book and loose the seals thereon. And John said, no man in heaven, no man in the earth, no man beneath the earth was found able to open the book. And he said, as I sat weeping, an elder cried unto me and said, weep not, John, for behold, the Lion in the tribe of Judah, out of the root of David, one hath prevailed. Who's able to open the book, loose the seals, and look thereon? And John said, I saw it, lo, and in the midst of the throne, a lamb had he been slain before the foundation of the world, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent unto the church. And I saw the 20 and four elders as they bowed and as they worshiped him, crying, holy, 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 thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and power and honor, for thou hast been slain. And the 20 and four elders bowed and they worshiped at his feet and said, holy, holy, holy. May I tell you tonight, he is the Christ. He left us a powerful promise. He's coming again. I saw and lo, a number that no man can number. And an elder said, John, who are these? He said, surely thou knowest. These are they. May I have your attention? They are us who've been told in white raiment, have been washed in the blood of Jesus. And they sang a song, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Bless his holy name. One day after a while, we'll see him. For who he is. Thank you, Lord. Preacher, let me just put it here with lingo. If you're doing wrong, quit it. That's simple to understand. He walked a painful pathway. But he left that powerful promise. Now watch this, and I'm done. Well, I ain't done, but I'm going to have to quit. And there's also, I find in this passage, there's a permanent penalty. There's a permanent penalty. For as it is once appointed unto men to die, but after this, the judgment. Death is a penalty of the universal sin. Not necessarily a particular sin you commit, but universal sin was pronounced upon us all. Death. And I'd be honest with you. If you just died and that's it, eat, drink, and be merry. But see, there's not only death, but after death, the judgment. Can I have a few more minutes and I'll be done? Listen, now I'm not here to get on anybody's theology or what you believe. I tell people everybody's got a right to be wrong. You get mad at me, apologize out yonder, and we'll go eat. Amen. Don't let the devil beat you up. Live your life for Christ and freedom. Sanctify yourself by the washing of the Word. And if you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. Now you boys can correct me and kick me out if I'm wrong. But here's what I believe. The Bible says that every man works
Let him beware how he builds thereon. For every work shall be tried, am I right? As though by fire. Some men's works shall suffer loss, but they, yet themselves, shall be saved as though by fire. That's the judgment seat of God's people. What do you mean, preacher? I'll tell you what I mean. Don't you think I'm going to run all over this country, leave my babies, spend my time doing this, worried about one day standing before God to find out whether I'm saved or not? That just don't make good sense to me. If that's how it is, I quit. I can work. I can make money. My daddy said I can sell an Eskimo an ice chest and explain to him why he needs it. One fellow said, that's all you do that for is money. I said, hello. Here's what I did tell him. Somebody talked to me like that, I've got a right to talk back. I said, I hope God makes you give me some and you have to crawl to give it to me. Knuckleheads. Forgive me, Lord, but I just couldn't help myself. I'm saved. Prove it, okay? Thanks for asking. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I'm paraphrasing. I'm hillbilly preaching right now. That we should be called what? The sons of God. Now, I like the next word. Now are we His sons. Or could I say children? But although it doth not yet appear what we shall be, we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now here's what I'm telling you. Quit worrying about that and do something for Jesus.
Amen.
And if you mess up, remember this. You ain't the first one. You won't be the last one. They ain't but one that never messed up and they crucified Him. But I'll say this. When you mess up and He corrects you up, you ain't going to go do it the next day. Well, my daddy thrashed me for doing wrong. Bless God, I took a second thought before I went and done it again. You hear me? They said, well, that's child abuse. Bless God, I thought it was then. Didn't bother my dad. I could see me telling my dad, I'm calling the law. He'd say, call them, because I'll have you dead before they get here. And the law ain't going to do you no good and you dead. And by the way, they had a 2-for-1 plan at the school. If I got whipped at school, I got one when I got home. Well, some of you think I'm meddling. But if you'll hang around a minute, I'll help you. Show your teeth. Smile. There's a permanent penalty for those that Felix to accept the blood of Christ. They've rejected the book. They've refused the blood. And paid no reference to the buoys. What's that? I'm getting ready to tell you. I like to fish. I'm like Brother Ricky Jacobs. I fish to eat. I don't fish to put them on a wall. Can't eat that stuff. We go to Tampa and I get to sometimes stay a few days and we'll go out in the bay to fish. We take out from the dock and you get out there and there's things floating in the water. They're called buoys.
Yeah.
And what are they for? Well, they're to give you information on what not to do. And I'm going to tell you something. I watched the captain of the boat when we going out through there. That'd be Roger. His boat. He's driving. He knows where to go. He knows where the fish are. If I see him get too close to one of them buoys, I take that rod and just slap him a little on the ear and say, hey boy, you get over there. Because see, you get outside there, you don't want to get stuck in the middle of Tampa Bay. It's a long swim back in. So why in the world God has put buoys here all this week? Warnings. Read them. Well, preacher, I can't live it. You're exactly right. Because you need Jesus. I'll mess up. That's right too. But He can fix it up. I tell this and I'm closing. I usually close three times. That was the second one, wasn't it? We were in Michigan back in a month or so ago. Brother Roger and I are privileged to get a preach up there in a camp meeting for Brother Lord Locklear. We go in there, and last year, well, 2 years ago now, I met a couple there, and they were not saved. And they go to church all the time. That amazes me. If I wasn't going to be a Christian, I ain't going to church. How do you think I'm going to go sit and let them scream and holler at me and mean? That just don't make good sense. And man, there's just times you make a connection with somebody. And so I was back up at another church 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they come. And on Wednesday night, the wife raised her hand. He raised his hand. And for the first time in 2 years preaching to him, she looked at me.
Right.
I just give her my heart. See, I don't want you to go to hell. Trust me, I don't. And I said, don't you want to come and get saved? Won't you come out there? And when she went out, there was a woman sitting on the end. She just followed her. And there sat that old fella with his head bowed. They both got right, and I took a fit. Now I told the Lord, you save them, and I'll shout. Some bunch of you all want to find it, be disappointed when you get to heaven and find out it's all right to shout.
Yeah.
That's right. So I'll shout. I know everybody don't shout, but everybody grunts. Amen. Well, so I was having me a time. Brother Ron, all of a sudden I heard a squall. Now, buddy, you know that squall. When God has pounded somebody and they come out of that, he come out of that dragging her like you'd drag a pup on a leash. And he about cut my wind off when he hugged me.
Bless God.
He said, thank you, preacher. I said, don't make me get on the altar and thank him. You got to get him. I can't do nothing else for you. He got saved. Here's what he told me.
Bless the Lord.
I'll never get over this right here.
Yeah.
He said, preacher, for 2 years, I've been listening for the Lord with my ears. But he said, tonight, I listened with my heart. I text him. I keep checking on him. I put him in good care. Pastor Rick and Pastor Lloyd, they'll take care of him. I'll be seeing him here before long. Powerful promise. Come on, Ron, sing. Get ready to sing. I'll tell you to share this last story, and that's the third time, and I'm done. I read a story. I love to read articles, books, and stuff, and my favorite's the Bible. Boy, I love that book. But I read a story of a gentleman that had preached right at 70 years, Cal. In the last couple of years of his life, he developed that terrible disease of dementia. And his wife was taking care of him. And sometimes the caretaker needs as much prayer, if not more, than the one that's getting care. So one day they went to the doctor. I'm talking about a powerful promise. And the doctor examined him and stuff, and they sat down to consult, and he told them what he thought. He was a Christian doctor. And his wife, I guess, she said, "Doctor, could I ask you something?" He said, "Well, sure." And I guess she just needed maybe vent a little bit. Sometimes you need to do that. And she said, "I don't understand. He don't know me. He don't know his kids. He don't know his grandkids. If he somehow gets out of the house, he don't know his way back home. He couldn't get, and we have to watch him 24 hours a day. And she said, I don't understand that. And she said, here's why I don't understand it. Every night, when I put him to bed, we pray. And she said, when I cover him up, and I say, let's pray. She said, I start praying, and he starts preaching. And said, he'll preach until he preaches himself asleep.
Bless you, sir.
Quoting scriptures. And she said, I'll just be honest with you. I don't understand. He says, sweetheart, says your name, your kids' names, and all the other stuff that he can't remember was in his mind. It says when he starts preaching, that don't come from his mind. It comes from his heart. I'm talking about a powerful promise. Hang in there. I ain't forgot what you've been through, Tom. Miss Vicky, I know, I remember what happened. Terrible. Terrible. Can I share with them? Just their son, Brian. I was there. I helped their church where they were at for a few months between pastors. And we got a call. Their son had wrecked, and he perished in the wreck. There's true witnesses. That's a powerful promise to know that you can go through something like that. Spend your money, come to Pigeon Forge, come to church every night. Raise your hand in the hope that God left us a powerful promise. We'll meet again. I could go on that others that we've been through situations. Well, I've got to quit four times a night. Forgive me. Play softly, Terry.
Yeah, God bless you.
Can I share with you this? My oldest sister went to heaven in October. My next oldest sister called me and said, Michael said, Sandy's going to die. I said, well, that can't be right. She said, no, you don't understand. I was with her at the doctor. They've done all they can do. She's going to die. I said, I know what they're saying. I said, she may leave this world, but she ain't going to die. Last 2.5 months, her husband brought me back, brought her back to my mom and daddy. My mommy, 84 years old, took care of her oldest child with her husband. The last 3 days of her life, she was in a coma. Bless you, Christ. My poor little old mommy, she'd come in there, she'd pat her on the face, just like you would a baby.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray, sweetheart.
Here's what she'd say this. Wake up, honey. Mommy wants to feed you. Mommy wants to talk to you. Monday morning, me and my mama was in there. And she had went through that routine. I watched my precious mommy lay her head on my sister's chest. She prayed this prayer. She said, Lord, if you would, let her open her eyes one more time so that I can tell her I love her. It broke my heart. I can't tell you it didn't. That's my mommy. She walked out of the room. I said, Lord, if I've got 1 ounce of blessing coming, just keep it. Would you please answer my mommy's prayer? Monday, Tuesday passed. Wednesday morning, we went to sing at a funeral. My wife and I have a friend. We came back home. The hospice nurse said it's time. We had just eaten a snack, and the nurse said, "Get her mom. She's opened her eyes." We rushed into the room where she was. Her husband, my mom, me, my siblings, the in-laws. My sister opened her eyes as bright as mine. She looked at all of us. As though to say, it's okay. I'm talking about a powerful promise. It's okay. My mama said, "Baby, I love you." She tried to move her mouth but couldn't speak. But you can tell by her eyes. Brother Kevin, then she closed her eyes again for seemed like 4 or 5 seconds. And then she opened her eyes again. But you could just tell she wasn't looking at us. She was looking far away. And when she closed her eyes, she never flinched. She never gasped. She never jerked. Her breath just went out. And I felt wings of angels go by to take her home. Oh, I miss her, but I've got good news. I've got a powerful promise, Brother Todd Zach. We'll get to see them again one day. They're not dead. They're only alive in Jesus.